Well, good morning, Berean. It's great to be with you today. How you doing? Good. This morning, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to be presenting the Word of God, found in a minor prophet in the Old Testament from the perspective of a first-person narrative. It's the book of Hosea. Chapters 1 through 3 is where we're going to be at. If you'd like to turn your Bibles there. It's on page 889 in those friendly brown Bibles in front of you, if you'd like to use that. And it's a story that is, well, it's unnerving, it's unsettling, and really it's kind of messy. And if you think about it, it really doesn't fit our churchy categories that we normally have. So back in the spring, the American Library Association came out with the top 10 books that are requested to be banned from the public library. The Bible was number 6. This story might be one of the reasons why it was asked to be banned, because it's a particularly unsettling story. And so we're going to walk our way through it. We're going to experience it together from the perspective of one of the characters in the story. What do you think of when you hear the word family? I mean, why is it that the people that we care about the most are those that can hurt us the most? You know, as an 8th century ancient Israelite living under the reign of Jeroboam II, family is a big deal. It's huge. Family is safety. Family is security. Family is livelihood, how we learn how to make a living. In Israel, as you grow up as part of your family and reach of age, you don't move away from your family. You are part of your family. Family is your connection to the land. And as an Israelite, family is also a connection to Yahweh, our God. But more on that in a little bit. So I had always dreamed of settling down with a nice Israelite girl, starting a family of my own, and working my family allotment of land. Now, you're going to think this is a little funny, but I had already picked out our firstborn son's name. It's going to be a boy, by the way. I was going to call him Hosea Jr. Because that's what my daddy called me. You know what Hosea means? It means he is delivered. Which is funny because God had called me to be a prophet. And prophets were part of our story as a people. See, our father, Abraham, he had been a wandering Aramean. He had been this desert nomad that God had chosen. And he said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your family so that through you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. And so this little family grew. And they wandered about in the land, and they wandered to the land of Egypt. And in the land of Egypt, the family population just exploded. But in Egypt, we came under the rule and the reign of a evil Pharaoh who oppressed us, who made us slaves, so that we cried out to our God, and he heard us. God heard us, and he delivered us from out of the hand of the Egyptians by blood and by power, and he brought us into the wilderness. He fed us manna. He gave us water to drink. He brought us to his mountain. And there was the cloud that came down on the mountain, and there was smoke, and there was fire and lightning, and there was a loud voice. And God said, I am your God, and you are my people. I delivered you from up out of Egypt on eagle's wings. You are going to be to me as a kingdom of priests to represent what it looks like to be in relationship with the living God to all of the nations. And he gave us his gracious and wonderful Torah to help us know how to do that. And God presences himself uniquely with us in the wilderness. And we reached the land of promise. And we got into the land. And the people grumbled, and they wanted a king. They wanted a king like the nations of those around them. And so they got Saul, who looked like the kings of the nations around them. He was tall and he was handsome, but his heart was not after God. Then God raised up another king, David. David was a man after God's own heart. Yes, there were some problems. There were some big problems. But God earnestly desired to serve the Lord. Then his son, Solomon, came to the throne. And under Solomon, things had never been better in Israel. The borders were pushed back to the greatest extent. The wealth had never been greater. In fact, God commissioned Solomon to build the temple, God's unique place where he was going to presence himself with his people. But Solomon's heart was also drawn away. And he made treaties with these other nations, by marrying their daughters. And they drew his heart away from the one true living God. So we set up all these idols around the land of Israel. And after Solomon, the land was split between a northern kingdom and southern kingdom. Jeroboam in the north and Rehoboam in the south. And because Jerusalem was part of Judah, the southern kingdom, Jeroboam knew that he had to consolidate his power and not let the hearts of the people be drawn away because of the worship in Jerusalem. And so he made two worship centers in Bethel and in Dan. And he put the golden calf in Bethel and said, Israel, look it, here's your God. And so all the kings that came after Jeroboam in the northern kingdom of Israel, they also participated in this and led the people in this worship of foreign gods, of the Baals. And the prophets, God brought the prophets. That's who I'm a part of. These group of individuals, men and women, who were not afraid to tell it like it is, whom God uniquely enabled to speak to rulers, to speak to kings, to speak to generals, to remind them of covenant faithfulness with God and covenant faithfulness with one another that they were forgetting about. And so you think about, there are people like Elijah, right, who called out Ahab, who had the showdown with the prophets of Baal. There was Elisha, to whom even a general from Syria came to, asking for help. In fact, there's this other prophet just recently. I don't know if you've heard about him. The guy's name is Amos. He's from Judah. And he came, he's from, I think, this place called Tekoa. And he came to Bethel. And he was speaking against Jeroboam II, the current king, talking about how the people had gone away from God, that there was injustice in the land, and that God was going to bring an end to the rule of Jeroboam II. And he was speaking at Bethel, and Amaziah, the high priest at Bethel, went to Jeroboam II and said, you got to get a load of what this guy Amos is talking about. He's saying that your reign is going to end. And then Amaziah comes back to Amos and he says, Amos, get out of here. You got to go. Find some other place that's going to listen to you and earn your bread there, because we don't want to hear anything about it. And Amos looked right at Amaziah. And he said, Amaziah, he said, I'm not a prophet or a son of a prophet. He said, I was taking care of my father's sheep. I was taking care of my father's sycamore's tree. And yet God called me to bring this message to you. And then he just let Amaziah have it. That's what it's like to be a prophet. So you can imagine how excited I was when God came to me and said, Hosea, I want your family, your future family, to be a picture of what it looks like to live in covenant relationship with me. Wow. My little family was going to be a picture of God's relationship with his people. So God's word came to me. And he said, Hosea, go. I want you to marry a prostitute and have children with her. Because the land, the culture around you, Hosea, commits prostitution against me by forsaking me, their God. So I went and I found Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim. Everyone knew who Gomer was. Everyone knew who Gomer was. You can imagine what my parents said. You're doing what? You can imagine what our neighbor said. What? So I took Gomer and made her my wife. Shortly after we got married, she got pregnant and gave birth to our firstborn child. It was a son, my boy. God said, I want you to name him Jezreel. Jezreel? Why Jezreel? Because he said, in a little while, I'm going to bring judgment on the house of Jehu because of the violence, the bloodshed that's characterized that dynasty. And I'm going to bring an end to the house, the kingdom of Israel, and break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. Can you imagine? So, what'd you name your kid, Hosea? Jezreel. Why'd you name your kid Jezreel? Well, because God's going to destroy all of the current political and socio-economical establishment. See, under the reign of Jeroboam II, things had never been as good in Israel since the time of Solomon. The borders had been pushed back. We had made Judah a vassal. Wealth was pouring into Samaria. Things had never been as good. And God told me to name my son Jezreel because it's all coming down. Shortly after, Gomer got pregnant again. This time I don't even know if it was mine. But it was a little girl. God said, Hosea, I want you to name her Lo Ruhamah. Do you know what Lo Ruhamah means? It means no mercy, no love, no compassion. God said, name her that because I'm sick, I'm fed up with this people, with the people of Israel. I will have mercy on Judah, but I'm not going to have mercy on Israel. Gomer got pregnant again, another boy. God said, this one I want you to name Lo-Ami. Lo-Ami? Lo-Ami means not my people. God says, you are no longer my people, and I am Lo-Ayah. I am no longer I am to you. Can you imagine? What made us the people of God was the fact that we were his people and he was our God. That's all the way back in Exodus when he appeared to Moses in the burning bush. And now God says, you are not my people and I am not your God. Where are we at? Gomer took off again. She does what Gomer does. And she was gone. I don't know where she went. But here I am with these three children. Can you imagine? Come here, Jezreel. I love you, no mercy. How'd school go today? Not my people. Daddy, where's mommy? I don't know. So I sent my kids out to go find her. And I began to feel maybe a little bit the way that Yahweh felt with his own people. The way that Yahweh felt betrayed. See, Yahweh had brought his people into this land, this good land flowing with milk and honey. And had given them all these good and wonderful things. And yet, the people's heart was stiff. It was hard. They were stiff-necked. And so they said, it's not Yahweh who gave us these. It's the Baals. It's these other gods who gave us these things. Who gave us our grain and our wine and our flax and our wool and everything that we have. And so you can see how frustrated God would be when God says, it was I who gave you these things, Israel, and yet you don't even acknowledge me. In fact, you take the things that I give you, the gold and the silver, and you make them into gods. And so you can hear how frustrated God is with his people. And he says, I'm just going to take it away. I'm going to take all that. Take it away. And you guys are going to go into exile. You guys are going to be judged. And I can almost feel that same way towards Gomer. How could she have done this to me? And God says, I'm going to judge you because you have forgotten me. And then God does something amazing. He says, therefore, look. He says, I will allure her. He says, I'm going to woo Israel. I'm going to speak tenderly to her. I'm going to speak to her heart and draw her back into the wilderness where we first met, when I first delivered her from up out of Egypt. And the valley of Achor, the valley of trouble, that place where Achan was stoned for taking what Yahweh said not to take from Jericho, that place of trouble, of judgment, God's going to turn that into a valley of hope. He says, you are no longer going to call me my Baal, but you are going to call me my husband. And he said, I'm going to scrub the names of the Baals from out of your mouth. And I'm going to make this covenant with you, Israel. This covenant's going to be with all of the animals, all of nature. And it's also going to be characterized by this absence of war. I'm going to break the bow, break the sword, and there's going to be peace in the land. And he says, and you are going to know me, your God. And then God uses this amazing language. He says, I'm going to betroth myself to you. I'm going to engage myself to you. I'm going to marry you, Israel. I'm going to bring these gifts. And these gifts are going to be gifts of righteousness and of justice and of steadfast love and of mercy and compassion and of faithfulness. I'm going to betroth you forever in faithfulness, he says, and you are going to know me. And then God says, those people that I once said, lo ruama to, I'm going to say, mercy. To those people that I said, lo ami, not my people, I'm going to say, my people. And they're going to say back, you are our God. So I'm thinking about this. Thinking about God's amazing, steadfast love towards his people. And God comes to me. And he says, Hosea, I want you to go. And I want you to love the woman who's loved by another. Even as I, your God, love Israel, even though she chases after other gods. What? God says to go and love Gomer. So I went. I had to go find her. By now, things had gotten really bad. And she had sold herself as a slave. The price of a slave was 30 shekels of silver. I didn't have it. I only had half the price. I only had 15. So I had to scrape together with what I could of an omer and a half of barley to make up the difference. And I brought Gomer home. And I said to her, "You're going to dwell with me for many days. You're no longer going to play the harlot. You're no longer going to chase after others. And so I will also be to you." And then God says, for a while, Israel is going to not have to be cut off, but I'm going to restore them. I'm going to bring them back. And they're going to seek the Lord, and David's line is going to be established. I just got done writing this next section. Listen to this. It says, "Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will raise us up that we may live before him. So let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is as sure as the dawn, and he will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth." I'd like to invite the praise team up. We're going to enter into our last song. But as we do, I don't know where you're at this morning. Maybe you came this morning and you felt far from God. Maybe you felt God doesn't love me. People here, if they really knew the way that I was, I couldn't be here. I want to ask you this morning, have you experienced the love of God the way that Yahweh expresses it in the book of Hosea? Do you understand that you are loved like that? Do you know that love? Secondly, notice how that love that Yahweh expressed to his people, how that transformed Hosea so that he responded in an unbelievable way. Now, that was going to be difficult. That was going to be awkward. Not sure how the rest of that went. We don't know. But I wonder, as you listened to the words of Hosea, if you thought about those in your own life. See, as I thought about this story, there are some times where I thought about myself, you know, in the position of Gomer. And there are some times where I thought about myself in the position of Hosea. But I wonder if there's people in your life that you're thinking about even now, right now, that God is saying, you know what? You need to go to them. the way that I have gone to you.